This episode featuring Michael Rappaport is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
When you're hiring, posting your job on just one site, it just isn't enough.
You got to do that one.
Okay.
I'm not doing that long-ass paragraph, and then I'll do the last two.
All right, CeCe, I'll do the long-ass paragraph. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Let ZipRecruiter's powerful technology match your job to the right candidates and use their simple dashboard to find your perfect hire.
In fact, 80% of jobs on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours.
So try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune. Well, CeCe, as you well know, baseball season is in full swing, and the New York Yankees are keeping their eye on the ball.
And as things are heating up, there's nothing better to quench your thirst than an ice-cold, refreshing Pepsi.
So if you're going to the ballpark for a tailgate, or you just plan on watching the game from home with a couple of buddies, be sure to grab a Pepsi.
Because it pairs perfectly with game day grub like hot dogs, burgers, brats, pizzas, peanut, and popcorn.
Thirsty yet?
So remember, when you're stocking up on Pepsi, complete your roster with other delicious options like Diet Pepsi and Pepsi Zero Sugar.
Well, I like the idea of Pepsi Zero Sugar.
I like that.
Gonna have to check it out. It's sure to be a winning lineup. Pepsi is a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees and this podcast. But it's true. When you, the reality is 99% of those people, you engage them in person.
Never.
I'm your biggest fan or whatever.
You're my biggest fan. Get the fuck out of here. And then they get mad because I'll talk shit back. Like, I had like some guy say some crazy shit to me, and he's got a picture of his kid. I didn't even look at the picture, but I'm like, yo, your kid is cockeyed. And they're like, why would you say something about my kid? Why would you say something? That's fucked up. Fuck you, you little
fuck kid. You.
And fuck your dog, too.
Well, today we are at Yankee Stadium, but an unfamiliar spot to you, CeCe.
Place that I've never been.
You have
this
never been here.
This is a great spot, bro.
This is the press box.
This is what you see, huh?
This is my view.
This is sick.
This is the broadcast booth of Yankee Stadium. This is where I watch you get angry when people try and bunt on you, man. Right here. This is where I do it. This is where I do it. Speaking of people who know how to express emotion, we have a friend of yours and mine. Michael Rappaport in with us today.
I actually like to be called a competitor with CeCe.
I was getting ready to say that. I
am a friend,
thing.
But say if you're going to say friend, say and competitor.
It's not really a competitor, though, because I'm the champ.
Ooh,
fine, but it's no competition, it's fine to say what I'm saying?
But like friend and / competitor / rival.
I'm good with that. It's not a rival. It's not a rival if you never win.
Ooh, I can tell this is going to be good.
It's only a rival if you win a game.
So Mike and I became friends by him coming on with Rothenberg and I when we used to host together. And it would always amaze me that he could be on Instagram, dropping F-bombs every other word. And then he'd get in the setting of ESPN and he'd know exactly how to toe the line without crossing it.
Yeah, who do you think is the real me?
I don't know which one's
the real you. Is it the PC 11 version or maybe the cursing guy is just a character?
I think you're...
No, I think the cursing guy is me.
Which one is it?
I've always been a curser my whole life. I've always cursed. It's part of who I am. I really think it's a part of New Yorker, being a New Yorker. But I've always cursed. I got in trouble for cursing since I was really young in school and all that stuff. So, but now that I'm older and I know I can control myself, it's just, when I'm flowing, that's just how I talk. And obviously you could use it for effect. And the Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff, that's just, to me, it's like a freedom of speech thing. And with the stuff lately with like the rants that people have, sort of responded to, that all came from, I give credit to Donald Trump because he likes to call people names. He that's how he got elected. He likes to give people nicknames. He gave Hillary Clinton a nickname. He gave Obama nicknames. He's always giving people nicknames. So I like to give him nicknames and his whole crew nicknames. And that whole thing and the cursing and that's just I give that to him. But he gets no commission off of what I make from doing that.
So. I don't feel like he needs a commission.
No, but I'm just letting you know. And you're not firing me. You're not firing me. Sloppy Sarah Huckabee, she not firing me. They got nothing. They can't. I'm untouchable with them. I love it.
You shouldn't. Yeah, no. Exactly. Don't tempt them, Mike.
In regards to that part of my life, but I pay all my taxes early.
So you can't go get them on that. They're gonna have to find something else.
Yeah, they're gonna find. No, that's cool. It's cool. Anyway, so I'm glad to be here with you guys.
You guys were in a fantasy league together.
We're in one again.
Oh,
I'm a fucking champ. Like, I mean, it's not like. We're not in the league together.
We're in the league together. You won last year.
Well, you played in that league, but I won it.
Last year.
Well, I mean, yeah, that was the first year of the league.
That was the first year of the league. Yeah. You won. I think I came in third or fourth. No, I'm always competitive. And by the way, I took my dissertation. I'm now a senior fantasy football analyst. So when you acknowledge me, please do that as a guest of the show. Like, I would like to be called by that. Like, I am a senior fantasy
No rings, bro.
No, I have no rings. But CC, check this out. I'm coming on your podcast to let you know this. Number one, I'm going to beat you head up this year in that league. And I'm going to beat you in the league. And I issue a challenge. Not for the money. For the honey, all season long in
FanDuel, DraftKings.
DraftKings.
Every week.
$5 games.
Every week. Let's do it.
$5 games.
I'm ready.
You want this? You bring your GM. Bring your cousin. Bring Ron Guidry. Bring Goose Gossage. Bring anybody you need to bring out of the bullpen to follow your lineup. And with Ruko, if you want this work, you can come get it.
I might have to go get it too.
You play daily, Ruko?
I've never played it.
Do fantasy though, right?
All the time. Yeah, okay. I'm in three leagues.
Okay,
but that's how Michael and I bonded though. Like, he was just getting into this stuff, and he was like, "Yo, I think this fantasy world is gonna be kind of dope, man. I kind of like this.
I love it.
It's incredible,
but
man.
Dude, when he started, though.
Yeah, that's when I first started.
But
I literally didn't know anything about it.
It's so addictive, though. But it makes you care about games you would have, you know.
It made me a bigger fan of the NFL because when the Raiders weren't that good, I had something to look forward to, like my fantasy team, the daily shit. So it like changed the way I watch football. I'm like a huge fan of every team.
Me too.
I mean, I'm a big Raider fan, obviously. That's my team, but. I watch all the teams and all the games now just because I love it. It's crazy.
It changed my whole thing with football. Yeah. It reinvigorated my love for football because you could be like the Giants, you know, or this game. Now you watch the whole landscape of the league.
Know your stuff now. Not as well as CeCe, clearly, who beat you in the league last year. I think you're going to be a little disappointed with that bet you just made with CeCe.
Oh, no. I'm not. I'm going to crack his ass. I'm going to beat his ass. Seriously.
This same shit all last year until I won the chip.
Were you on a group text with this guy?
Oh, yeah, I call him. Like, he'll be like, I'm in Cleveland.
He called me this year before the draft.
He's like, I'm getting ready to go. I got a game. I'm in Cleveland. I don't give a shit where you are. I wouldn't be worried about the game. You got that under control. What you don't have under control is what's coming at you all weekend long. That you have no control of. When you're on the mound, you're good to go. That's like a safety blanket. So I let him know that. And I called him the night before the draft. Too, and he's like, what the fuck? I'm getting ready to come on a plane. Like, yo, be worried about me. Be very worried.
You're lucky CeCe's the way he is as a pitcher. Some of these dudes, they would throw off their whole day, man. Like, pitchers are they're crazy creatures of habit.
The day you pitch, guys, sometimes you can't talk to guys sometimes.
Who out of all your career or guys you've come across on teams or not teams, like, who do you know for sure is like the weirdest one or most intense?
Like, on the day that you pitch?
Rigid about it.
Andy was pretty intense.
Yeah.
Like, what was his
Andy
deal?
Pettit.
He was everything was time. So he had to be like in the hot tub at a certain time. You can't be around him. And when he was in his space, like you don't want to go around and like mess with him.
But he
was a great guy like every other day, you know, day besides the day he pitched. So it made it a little awkward and weird, you know what I'm saying? Because you're like, oh, you can't talk to Andy the day he's pitching.
It's almost like a totally different personality.
Yeah.
It's like
there's a
schizophrenic
like
type
that,
thing.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? For me, I can't do that, though. I have to be loose, man. If I get, like, too amped up and start worrying, put my headphones on, worry about the game, then I'll go out there and try to run the ball to the plate. You know what I'm saying? So
that's why he comes
out
to Big Papa, because it just, like, chills him out.
And I like my infield to talk. I like my third baseman to talk a lot. Didi talks to me a lot. Castro.
What kind of stuff are they saying to you?
We just talk about everything. Like, Just,
in the game.
Just really talking, yeah. Like, stuff that goes on. I'm always giving them props to ground balls and stuff. It's fun out there when I'm out there. Todd Frazier is great.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Man, we have good conversations
out
there.
No, I saw they did this thing with Todd Frazier, who they acquired at the trade deadline, third baseman, who's playing really well. He's way better defensively than I realized. He can pick it over there.
Yeah, he's great.
But now he's hitting some home runs, too. But what'd you guys do with him the other day? Like, you made all these blankets for him or something
so
like that?
About a week ago, I found this this website, shoptoddfrazier.com. It's got pillows and blankets and bibs and all kind
of
shit on there.
Of just him?
Of just him, like
That's
action
funny.
Pictures.
That's
of him.
Funny.
So I bought 50 pillows and 50 blankets. and put one on everybody's chair in the plane. It was great.
Wait, so the shop already existed?
ShopTodFrazier.com.
Who made this?
I have no idea.
He probably did. He probably getting money off that. You can't just. It's Major League Baseball right there.
He probably made a lot more after CC made that purchase.
Stuff too, it was good.
Oh my gosh,
10%, 15%, 60-40 split off that.
Yo, see, he's hilarious, man. He's great to be around, yeah.
I kind of know, like, just the first couple days he was in the clubhouse, just being around him, I was like, he's gregarious. Like, mm-hmm. He's got a big personality. He's, like, coming right to you. That's not easy to come to a team that's doing well middle of the season and be, like, kind of a voice or a leader or whatever he might be.
Yeah, he's a Jersey guy, you know what I'm saying? This is his home, so it's fun to see him out there.
See, Mike, I think we kind of, like, we missed the boat not being on team, so we can't do fun shit like that. Like, you know, those kind of pranks and stuff.
I know.
I feel like
I
you would
that.
Be great at that.
I would love it. I would love it. I like that whole, you know, I got to experience it slightly, although I was not part of the team, but I felt like I was part of the team with the big three this summer.
I was
going
to ask you that. Yeah.
And that was the thing that I think the guys had the most fun with, because, you know, like, when you hear athletes retire, they say, well, you miss the guys. Those guys talked about, like, having that experience, and I got it, because it's like, you know, you as a professional athlete, as an actor too, I mean, if you don't have a real job, you don't have a real job.
No.
We're not 9 to 5. No. You have this thing where you never really have to truly grow up in a mainstream kind of way.
Yeah. Right.
You know, yeah. I had a conversation with the actor Christopher Walken about that, and he was like 60. He was like, I never grew up. I've been doing this my whole life, and I was like, damn. You know, like, I understood that. So when you see athletes, especially playing sports, which is kids games.
It's kids games.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're in there buying blankets and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, I know that the big three dudes, they love to just the hanging out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, that right. That's probably, I mean, because you, I don't know how much longer you want to play, but I bet you that's going to be one of those things that's like, damn, like, how do you get that back?
Yeah, you never get that back. You know what I'm saying? That's just, it just is what it is. So you have to enjoy it while you're a part of it, like, and just roll with it. For me now, it's fun to kind of be, like, in the middle of it, because I'm the oldest guy, so, like, I, you know, all the shit kind of goes through me, so it's a lot of fun to be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, what kind of guy is Christopher Walken? The fact that you're just, like, having this casual
New
conversation
York,
with
kind
him.
Of eccentric, kind of, not as anywhere
kind
near.
Because you see him in a movie, you
think
he'd be
like
the wackiest dude
what?
Ever.
He's
yeah.
a New York dude,
yeah.
you know, artist, New York, Queens dude. He's a Queens dude. He likes to cook, great sense of humor, bullshit. Like, my whole thing with him, because he's so, has such, I thought he was going to be weird, too. And when I saw how good of a sense of humor he had, I would go out of my way to try to make him laugh, and he would laugh. You know, he'd be laughing. You never see.
Like a real Christopher Walken.
So what
laugh.
About like a movie sets? Is the same with like that kind of camaraderie
yeah.
and stuff? Like
if
when
it's
you're
good.
Shooting, yeah.
If it's good, you know, it's like, you know, a culture of winning. You know, you're on good teams, you're on bad teams. You got rotten apples. You got coaches you like, coaches you don't like.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with a movie set, like. Sometimes there's a flow, sometimes there's a dynamic, and it's not just the actors, it's the whole sort of groove. Obviously, the actors are, you know, the stars and the directors are the stars, but if that culture, if that sort of chemistry isn't there, it takes away from the fun. You might even wind up doing something good, but it takes away from the day-to-day, like, looking forward to going to work.
And that's like an everyday thing, too, when you're shooting a movie, right? Kind of like... It's every day for however many months,
yeah,
right?
So yeah.
How long
would
is
you
your
would
like
want
typical
that to be
movie?
Fun?
I mean, it depends. You know, 3 months. Like the big movies are like 3 months. TV shows, like a season, is like 3 months, 3.5 months. Could be 4 months. And you know, you're with the people, and
that's
you want to
you
know, be able to. Yeah.
That's a lot. That's what I'm saying. So you want it to be like a good environment when you. 3-4 months out of the year, like for us, is 9 months. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right. You have to get along, otherwise.
So you have
yeah.
to have a good culture and good clubhouse, or else it's going to be miserable.
Yeah,
you know?
Man.
And that's where they say, like, a culture of winning. Like, there's just an environment, right?
Yeah. Or even just like the clubhouse chemistry. That's a real thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been on some good teams that had bad chemistry that you can't win. And I've been on some decent teams with great chemistry that win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it makes when everybody's pulling for each other, you're having fun, like, it makes a huge difference because. You all going the same way. You know what I mean?
I feel like I remember when you were deciding to come to the Yankees, that was something
that
was important.
A big thing.
You
that
asked
was,
Cash
That was
about,
very
right?
important for me because coming from Cleveland, like that's what we built our team around was the clubhouse culture.
Yeah.
You know, like and, like the performance came secondary. So, like, for me, that's what I was a big thing I was worried about coming here.
You're making sure everybody gets along.
Make sure everything was cool,
That's
man.
Right. Now, you know, here's the thing. You have some, like, you've kind of built this now – sports personality
yeah.
part of your of your life. I mean, you were Michael Rapaport, the actor, forever, and you still act a lot.
Yeah.
But now it's like, Cece, I know you've seen, like, we watch Michael doing these hilarious videos about a lot, most of it's sports stuff.
But he knows what he's talking about, though. This shit is hilarious because you, like, you're spot on every time, bro. It's hilarious, man.
I'm such a fan. I grew up a fan, and I never not wanted to be a fan. I wanted to be a professional basketball player. That's reality.
Yeah.
That was my goal. That was, like, you know, probably, you know, the way CeCe, like, I don't know, but, like, I lived my life accordingly to be a professional basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that's the end of the similarities me and CeCe have as athletes. But, like, that was my thing. But I love, I mean, before basketball, you know, it was the 70s Yankees. It was Reggie, Greg Nettles, you know, Mickey Rivers. And, you know, I mean, Chris Chambliss, like, those are my dudes, like, baseball, basketball, like, so I've always been a fan. I'm not a baseball guy now, but, like, football and, like, you know, but basketball, football, boxing, like, I'm a fan of that. So when I started doing, like, when I showed up at ESPN, like, you know, to promote something, and I was talking and then, you know, come to promote when you were doing the radio with Rothenberg, like, I'm like a kid in a candy store. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And, you know, I have such respect for athletes and what it takes to be an athlete. And the discipline and the luck and the
definitely
the,
luck.
The magic crystal, you know, that you get to have this, like, one in a million thing. I mean, I think it's even, I don't know the numbers of it, but it's like, it's similar, like, I imagine, to being an actor. It's like, you know, so many people want to do this thing and then so very few get to do it. So I just have such respect for it. And as I've gotten older, you know, have the opportunity to do those shows. I love it so much. And I know what I know. I know what I don't know. And I never try to out-analyze the analysts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see a lot of, like, actors, they go in there, they try to, like, well, the stats, is like, yo, I can't do that versus Ryan
an analyst.
Rucco.
Yeah, just do what you do. Just know what you know, right?
And you don't have not sit there trying to, like, well, you know, this happened, and the stats. And I think the whole stat culture in sports.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to hear what you guys think, because you have to give it, because
he has to know the numbers.
Yeah, I do.
Numbers, yeah.
And then you're one of the people who
I'm like, fuck the numbers. That don't make a difference for me. You know what I'm saying?
And, you know, when, you know, like, now, like, with basketball, every year, some fucking genius who probably can't make 10 out of 10 free throws any day of his life, which is essential. If you talk shit about basketball, you need to be able to go every day. You should be able to hit 10 in a row free throws. At 1 of 5 attempts.
Yes.
Do that before you open your mouth.
I don't want to hear shit. Like, I want to see you do 10 out of 10 free throws. Can you do a jump hook with your left hand, a jump hook with your right hand? I don't give a fuck what kind of number crunching Google Encyclopedia Britannica motherfucker you are. Like, what do you know?
I don't feel like numbers really work in basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, the stat shit. I don't really get it for basketball.
In baseball they work so much more. It's weird.
Do they?
Yeah. They do.
I don't know if they work. I mean,
but it's different, right? Like, it's so what I always say about this is there's got to be some sort of blend of a relationship, right? It can't be one or the other.
Yeah.
Vin Scully used to always have this quote, and I thought it was great. Long time, obviously, Hall of Fame Dodgers broadcaster who just retired last year. He'd say, use stats as a drunk uses a lamppost for support, not illumination.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because it's like, okay, don't. Like, I'm watching CeCe pitch every time out. I've watched him pitch for a decade and a half. Like, don't give me some number and try and, like, illuminate something for me. No, give me some number that supports what I'm seeing. For example, just to stroke CeCe's ego. Because, you know, we like to do that here. You know, we like to make him feel good about himself. I look at CeCe and the Yankees lose. As someone who roots for the Yankees, I feel good when CeCe's on the mound. I've seen that a long time. Well, guess what? The numbers, they back that up. He's like 8-0 with an ERA of 1 this year.
I don't know nothing about that.
He doesn't know anything about that.
I can't do numbers, man. Like, I won't even look up there
at the scoreboard.
No, I won't. Like, not when I'm pitching.
Yeah.
I don't want to see my ERA, how many pitches I got, none of that shit. I'm just, like, locked in one pitch at a time and just go.
Okay.
Numbers are numbers. Like, I don't know how many wins I have in my career. I don't know how many strikeouts, none of that. Like, only time I know that is when somebody tells me.
Right.
I just, like, try to put my head down, grind, and, like, when I'm done, then I'll look at the numbers. You know what I mean? Like,
have the stats, I'm asking both of you in baseball, because I don't know baseball.
Yeah.
I'm doing as far as baseball, have the stats and the stat world, obviously the money ball thing, and, you know, someone who doesn't know anything about baseball knows about how that, you know, affected the, you know, or changed the way people put together teams. But are they, like, creating new stats each year in baseball?
It's always new stats.
I don't know how they do this shit.
It's always new stats.
It's unbelievable.
It's so much shit that I don't understand it, man.
How they come
just
up with the time of this
ERA
shit.
Batting average and all that. Like, that's all I know. Like,
and the eye test.
Shit, I don't know. Yeah, the eye test. Yeah.
Right, the fucking eye test.
Well, I'll tell you where some of them help, okay? They have some stats now that try and weed out the luck factor, right? So I'll give you one that's become big, and it's like BABIP. That's batting average on balls put in play, okay?
Say it slower.
Yeah, what is that?
BABIP.
Batting average
on balls put in play. Yeah. So, for example, the major league average for a pitcher is like giving up BABIP is like around like 293, something like that. If CC's pitching, okay, and he has, let's say CC has an ERA of 5, which isn't good, there could be a luck factor involved. And one of the things that might show that is the BABIP, because maybe opponents are hitting their BABIP is 360 against you, which means probably all those little bleeders, those dinkers and dunkers, those bloops,
so
they're
landing.
So it just
takes the fielding out of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
so it takes the fielders out of it.
You kind of know like where the ball's being hit. You know what I mean? Like, because you might go through a period of time. So that was one thing that happened with like Jake Arrieta, like where he got discovered by the Cubs because they realized like this guy's pitching in bad luck. And then they realized like, well, if he stops getting bad luck, he could be pretty damn good. Those kind of things I think the stats can help with. But you can't just solely rely on that. Or if you know something about a guy or what he does or his work ethic, about the way he goes about his business or all that, you don't ignore that because you guys aren't robots, right?
But the way you just explained it, they don't explain it to the common folk when they're watching whatever.
Well, they should hire me for that then, right?
But the thing is like, you know, like when you're talking to Hubie or Jeff Van Gundy, off air, forget even on air.
Off air is much better.
Okay, so you're talking to Hubie and he's talking about, you know, being around – you know, this player, that player in 73. He's not like, oh, well, when I coached Bernard King, he da-da-da-da-da-da-da rattled off these numbers. He's giving you concrete stories that you could re-articulate because and he's painting a picture. He was there. Like, this number shit that's being put in front of us in baseball.
Baseball the most.
Definitely.
But basketball, I see, like, these new stats. Like, I can't remember the
PR
shit.
PR.
The basketball, they were coming up with this shit, like, I don't even pay attention to it. I don't even fucking pay attention. But like, I think it was like in the last 2 or 3 years with Steph Curry. Like they're like, there's like when he leaves the league, they're gonna have the Steph Curry stats. How long he dribbles the ball and how many times he dribbles the ball to the teams. Like I don't give a. Did they win the fucking game? You know what? When they won the 70 games, the fucking stats made a fucking difference. Yeah. And last year, you know, it's like at the end of the day, it's like, did you win the fucking game? Or did you not win the fucking game? Fantasy sports, it's different.
Fantasy sports is different. We need all the stats. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
It's all stats, and then it kind of helps you. But, you know, I think for me, in regards to fantasy, and you know, in regards to fantasy, like, I have my fantasy brain and then my regular football-watching brain.
Yeah.
That's how I am, too. Like, if I had the first pick in one of my drafts, and I took Le'Veon Bell, everybody's taking David Johnson because he had better numbers. But for me, like watching, I like Le'Veon Bell. That's my guy.
That worked out for you with David Johnson hurt.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Le'Veon,
like,
I told you.
But I like Le'Veon. I mean,
I love him too.
But I mean, he's gonna have a slow start because he didn't go to camp and shit. But
I love
Le'Veon. Though. He's a beast, man.
He's my fantasy football vessel.
He's a beast.
Because my first year, when I didn't know shit about fantasy, it was his second year. My son and his friend picked him. And that was the year he had his breakout year. So I'll always like
he's your guy.
Like, if I met him, I'd be like, oh, yo, you're my fucking like I have like I feel like he's like part of my family.
Yo, that's how I feel about Antoine Walker, man. Because I know that sounds strange, but when I was in when I was sophomore of high school, I did this fantasy league. It was the greatest site I've ever done fantasy on in my life. It was called sports.ws. And they would it was some messed up stuff, man, because they would do these like recaps and these controversial stories about the owners. Like, I don't, the website just generated it through its algorithm or whatever.
The fantasy
about
owners.
Us, about the fantasy owners. Like, and it would be like, you know, let's say my friend Al, like it would be like, Al has been suspended for 2 games after cocaine was found in his car. Like, what? Like,
oh, it's not real? Or
no, none of this is real. None of this is real.
I like criticizing the owners. That's funny.
They would come up with something. It would be like messed up stuff, man. They would come up. But Antoine Walker was like the linchpin of my dominant. I had Kobe, Pierce, Walker, and Duncan. And Kwame Brown was just like, he was my guy for the ride.
Yeah.
he was my guy for the ride, man. But I'll always love Antoine because of that. Like, you know, you get that connection.
Yeah,
become like your highs and lows are fed through them.
They really are. Now, I feel like I've gotten to see like Mike as just a straight sports fan too, because he over the last couple of years has become a huge Warriors fan. You know, CeCe's a big Warriors fan.
Yeah, you love them.
Yeah.
I love them.
And Mike was calling me 2 years ago when they started to blow it, and he's like, Rye, tell me this is going to be okay. Tell me this is going to be okay. I'm like, I'm worried about, I can't deal with this, man. I can't deal with this.
It was just, it got, it kind of like snowballed on him. You know what I mean? Like when Draymond got suspended. And
for doing nothing.
And then they had the problem in Cleveland with the fans, and his wife was, Steph's wife was tweeting. And
oh,
it got
right.
to be too much. I felt like,
the
you know what I'm
saying? The pressure was too much.
It got to be too much.
Yeah, it was too much.
At that time.
It was
and
too
then Draymond
much.
Got suspended. So
the Draymond suspension was bull.
Yeah, that was trash.
Shit.
That was trash.
It was bullshit.
Yeah.
And that was LeBron James throwing around his star power to get that done. He didn't even know that he tried to kick him until afterwards.
After Twitter caught it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He didn't know. He didn't even realize it. Because if somebody
he was the one who messed with Draymond
first
in that
right?
interaction.
Yeah,
kinda
the
like
whole
knocked
thing.
Him down,
yes.
stepped over him, whatever.
He stepped over him, yeah. and, he, and yeah. then Draymond was getting up yeah. and kind of kicked him, whatever.
But he didn't even. But he didn't connect.
Didn't kick him. Nah, but
no, Draymond's got to cut the kicking
yeah,
shit. It's enough.
That. For like him, especially with all eyes on him, like he got to cut that shit out.
He's too good. He's too good. He doesn't need it. And it's not just Draymond just being Draymond. I love that dude. But it's like, you know, you're coming. He came close to the edge even this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they had it, but it's like, yo, you could still be you and not do that. If I
and
could come
lose
on
a- games or not cost us games, you know what I'm saying? Like, he shouldn't be costing the team games.
Is it easy when you're in the middle as an athlete in the heat of that moment to know, like, okay, this is the line I
no,
can't cross?
No, it's not. But yeah. like going in, you have to know that line.
Yeah.
Like what you are, like how you play the game. You have to set boundaries before the game. You know what I'm saying? Before you go out there. To know, but when you're in the moment, like when I'm out there and something happens, and I'm like cussing and doing all that shit, like,
oh yeah,
like that's just it just happened.
You definitely between the Warriors, Cavs videos you've done,
but Knicks fan, like you're a Knicks fan.
I'm a Knicks fan, but I have a Knicks ban. I ban the Knicks. I'm literally banning the Knicks for the next year until Charles Oakley is allowed back in the Garden.
See, and that's how I was about the Lakers, but everybody gave me shit.
That's true.
What
I was filling in Mike
I,
a little bit.
I shut the Lakers down
because of what
when Shaq left.
Okay.
I chose Shaq.
I hear you.
It was Shaq or Kobe, and I chose Shaq. I left when he left.
So you're a bandwagon fan.
How is that bandwagon?
You're a bandwagon fan. See, I'm a Knicks fan, but I was like, I'm not going to sit here and like beat my head against the wall and stop watching basketball until the playoffs come.
I had season tickets for the Warriors before. Even when I was a Lakers fan, I had season tickets for the Warriors because I lived up there. I went to a lot of games when Baron Davis was there, Steven Jackson, Al Harrington. I was a part of that.
Corey Maggette
was there, yeah, for sure. I was a part of that. So when Shaq left the Lakers, I left too. Became a Warriors fan. So I was that bandwagon. I was a Warriors fan before they got good.
Yeah, but you know, you're kind of like, I'm surprised what you're talking about because you're like, first of all, you're like, good, fuck the Oakland Raiders. They should go to Vegas. And now you're like, I was a Lakers fan. And I'm like, I don't even know, who's your teammate? Like, so what, you were a Miami Heat fan? And Shaq is my guy. But I was like, and I was glad when he
when
won
he
the
left,
ring.
I went to the Warriors.
I see.
When he left the Lakers, I went to the Warriors.
And you were like hometown.
But I got a lot of shit for that. I still get shit for this.
Dellen Betances gets on you
all
the time. All
the time. Siegel gets on me fucking every day. All the time.
Our boy Matt Siegel. Mike's a
good
friend too.
Yes, yes, yes. I love the Warriors. I've always had an affinity for the Warriors from the World Be Free days because I used to play ball in the park in New York City when World was still in the NBA in Brooklyn when he was World Be Free when I was – in 82 gave me the nickname Bird. He's like, what the fuck is Larry Bird doing out here after he just got eliminated? So I've always loved, you know, them and then Bernard King. And then of course, my man Chris Mullin and then the Run TMC teams.
Run TMC teams.
And then the
Steven
Jackson, Baron Davis teams. I was at the game when they eliminated.
I was at the game when he dunked on Karolinko.
Oh, I was at the game when they beat Cuban and then when they beat
Dallas, yeah.
So I've always fucked with them. And then to see them – you know, emerge and see Steph emerge. And
then they drafted this team. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
People get pissed off about, like, what happened last year with KD and all that shit. They drafted the other
Period.
Players.
Yeah, right.
You
Everybody
know what I'm saying?
But.
So it's not like they went and bought this team. They
nope.
drafted this team, and then they got their one fucking free agent.
Yep.
Just so happened to be KD.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
It is what it is.
Yep.
But they put this shit together.
Blame it on LeBron.
They traded Monte Ellis. Remember, everybody's pissed about that.
Blame it on LeBron.
Because Monte and Steph couldn't play together. Like,
blame it on LeBron. LeBron just followed KD just followed LeBron James' playbook. I got no qualms with KD
at all.
I told him after the game, glad you bust their ass. Do it again next year. Bust their ass the year after that. And if he goes to L.A., bust their ass there.
I feel like, though, when you go to Cleveland, a place CeCe knows very well from his time with the Indians, I feel like you got to be like public enemy number one.
I need
all
security
the
when I go back.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
When I go back, I will have a security with me.
You got to have security.
Yeah, I'm going to have security when I go back. But, yo, when I brought the broom to game three of Cleveland, I was just there doing a service. Like, yo, you're going to get swept. I'm just here to help, motherfucker.
I'm just here. Don't get mad at me.
Yo, I'm just here to clean shit up. Like, yo, we're packing up for the summer. I'm just here with the fucking, like, why? The question I had when I went to the game with the broom, why am I the only one with the fucking broom? The whole arena should have had the broom. And obviously, they won that one game, and then we had to bring the plunger to Golden State for game five to plunge him right through the sewage system. But I didn't understand why I was the only one with the fucking broom.
Between that and this book, I can't wait till you and LeBron cross paths and what it's going to be like. Because you know this dude hears and sees everything.
Oh, he hears. I know he hears and sees. He didn't like the broom or the plunger.
And I'm sure he's not going to like the book.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. What is he going to do?
Yeah, what is he going to do? He brought it on himself.
I don't know what he's going to do.
But in the book, this book has balls. I break down what turned me against LeBron. The one I've been around athletes, fortunate.
Is it what I think it is? At the All-Star game?
Yep.
Okay.
What happened at the All-Star
game? I'll save it for the book. October 24th.
I gotta get the book.
I'll tell you, CeCe. You gotta
get
the book.
It's beyond R2C2 the fact
that listeners gotta get the book.
It's beyond the fact that he's gonna leave the NBA in shambles for the fans. I know he's done a lot. Listen, I know his greatness, and I know he's done a lot for the players and the Players Association. But when
he's
amazing. He's incredible.
Yeah. Great
he's
player.
The MVP every year, period. Yeah. You could give it to
he was the MVP of the finals. He had a triple-double in the fucking finals.
He's sick. But this friends and family, cool kids click shit that he started is going to be a disease within the NBA long after he leaves. Mm-hmm. This ganging up, big three, big four bullshit that him, Dwayne Wade is just a more like.
Did the Celtics not do that first, though?
They were not in their prime, CeCe.
Yeah.
They were not. They were still very viable. But KG was, I think, 13 years in. Ray Allen, I think, was 12 or 13 years in. And they were still good. But they weren't 25 years old in their fucking fertile prime.
Yeah. Fertile.
Fertile. And it just, it fucked the NBA up. And all the kids that grew up loving and idolizing LeBron, they're coming up seeing it. They're going to do it. Look what's happening now with, I don't know what Houston thinks they're going to do with James Harden and Chris Paul. That's going to fucking implode.
They're about to get Melo too, huh?
Can you imagine that bullshit? All three of them, they love the basketball like fucking lollipops. That shit's not going to work.
Also, does D'Antoni really want Melo again? That's
right?
My thing. Like, does he really
want
Melo again?
But where else would Melo go? Melo can't stay here, right?
He's just going to muscle through it out here.
Oh,
unfortunately,
that's tough.
I fuck with Melo.
He can't stay here.
He can't.
After all that, like, I mean.
Phil left, but Melo's still here.
Damn.
But we're cleaning up with Phil Jackson, the mess that he caused here. Yeah. And I talk about Phil in the book.
Oh, do you?
The Bachelor of Montana. Like, it's like the aftermath. Like, what he's done since he's left New York.
I feel like this is going to be a good book, man.
You know what? I'll say this. I'm so proud of the book, and the book is bugged out. It's easy to read. You can read it anywhere. You could start anywhere. It's just chapters and rants. It's tongue in cheek and it's fun.
You're gonna be doing like late night shows with it and stuff like
hell
that.
Hell yeah,
you have to.
Hell yeah. I'm proud of it. It's bugged out. It's funny.
So like if you get ready to do, I don't know if you already have it booked, like where you're gonna be certain dates or whatever. But like, let's say you're getting ready to do like I don't know Fallon or Colbert or whatever. Seth Meyers. Is that like a like you feel you got like a little like. Little spring in your step those days? Is that like a thing for you? Like, damn, I'm going on the Tonight Show tonight. Like,
when I go on those shows, like I was just on Colbert, like I go on there to tear shit up. Like I treat it like I'm an MC getting on somebody's track in the 90s. Like I go there to tear shit up. I'm not there to fuck around. I'm not there to play games. I'm there to tear shit up.
My verse is the best verse.
I'm the best guest.
Yeah.
I'm there to tear shit up. Like, I respect everybody else, but I'm there to tear shit up. I'm Busta Rhymes coming at the end of scenario.
Okay.
You can put whoever the fuck you want first. Keep me last because I'm shutting the shit down.
Ooh, I like
don't have
I
me
like
as your first
right
guest.
There.
You know, like, you guys definitely mindset. Have the same, like, music philosophy too, with like new age rap versus what do you call it, the skinny genification of
mumble rap, skinny genification, skinny gene rap.
Yeah.
I don't
know. My son is on that heavy now. He's 14.
There's no way to stop
it. That's all he That's all he listens to. You know what I'm saying?
On that too, Mike?
How old are your kids?
They're 17 and 15. They I'll say this. One good thing I did as a parent is they know the difference between the skinny jean mumble rap, which some of which is good, and they know the difference between that boom bap funk shit.
Yeah.
And you there's a line in between. And for me, like with hip hop, it's like if it's you can't deny funk.
Right.
James Brown, from now until when this planet is gone and they rebuild it, when you listen to James Brown, you're gonna be like, oh shit. I don't give a fuck what you grew up on, what you heard before. You could be Chinese and not speak a lick of English. And when you hear something funky, your mouth is gonna like your head is gonna bob. So this skinny jean hip hop shit, we'll see how it ages. Cause I know how the shit that I grew up on aged. It aged fucking good.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
It aged good. So
still have to listen to that shit now.
Yeah, exactly.
Period. So it's like you know, and I say James Brown because without James Brown there's not hip hop, but like Tribe Called Quest, Eric B and Rakim, Gangstar, NWA, DJ Quick, I'm doing all his West Coast, Too Short,
all
that shit, Dr. Dre shit, Eminem, Eric B and Rakim, BDP, that shit doesn't need any explanation from now until eternity.
Yes.
We'll see how this bullshit they're doing now, we'll see how it ages. We'll see if it ages well. We'll see if kids when they're 36 will be as adamant and passionate as about their music as I know I am now at 47, and I can listen to Sugar Hill Gang Rapper's Delight and still be like, yo, listen to this shit.
Yeah.
And you can, too. I don't give a fuck if you're 13 or 99.
Yeah.
Like, that shit's funky.
Yeah.
Period. So we'll see what happens with
that's a good point. We'll see how it ages, though.
You pretty much nailed exactly how you feel about it.
Yeah, 1,000%. Right? Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll see if your shit is still funky in 20 years from now and if you're not just reminiscing.
With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus website with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else.
That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you, it finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours.
No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results.
And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tribune.
We killed that one.
Dude, you ain't going to need me soon, man. You are crushing this. And I know you were on Lonzo Ball about the Nas thing, man.
See, I didn't hear none of that.
So
I didn't know. I don't know what happened.
Explain to CeCe what happened with Lonzo Ball.
My whole thing with the Lonzo Ball and LeVar Ball thing, you know, that was just the icing on the cake. But, you know, he said, oh, no one listens to Nas anymore. That's not relevant. That's not hip-hop. And I'm like, you why don't you do something first before you, like, stop? I've never seen some motherfucking guy as hyped up and talked about, and you haven't done jack shit. And his opinion doesn't mean anything to me. We're talking about a dude who has his own sneakers, and then when everybody's watching him, he doesn't wear them. What kind of fucking, like, yo, that's the mind we're talking about. So when you say Nas is in hip-hop, I know you're from Chino Hills also. Don't speak about hip-hop. No disrespect to Chinos. Don't speak publicly about hip-hop. Do your thing. You're young. It's going to be, but for you to say Nas isn't hip-hop, that's like saying Reggie Jackson isn't baseball or Dominique Wilkins is in NBA. Get the fuck out of here with that shit.
This was just recent, too. He said that,
right? Yeah, man.
On top of all the other LeVar Ball shit we've been dealing with for the last 9 months, before anybody has seen anything from these fucking
guys. But you think he's a good player? I like you like him?
I think he'll be good. We'll see. But it's like, you know,
you know, but before all of this, before this Nas shit, you don't never really hear from the kid. And that's what I kind of liked about
it.
He
let his dad do
his dad was doing all the talking. He was balling. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm excited to kind of see what he's going to be, you know?
Most people I know who know him actually really like him.
I'm sure he's a good kid.
But the Nas thing, where he just should have gone.
That's out of control. I mean, that's just him being fucking young. You know what I'm saying? Not knowing.
At a certain point, it's like there's just been so much hype and talk about this kid. Yo, whether he's going to be Jason Kidd or the next this or the next that, it just doesn't matter. Like, it's like the thing that concerns me as a fan is just, Like, are we going to, like, this guy's, like, every game in the summer league was, like, a fashion show. Is he going to wear these shoes? Is he going to wear, just fucking play ball,
just go
man.
Play, man.
Just, like, how much, and then, like, you're speaking about it, but you don't speaking about it, and sometimes you're coy about it. Motherfucker, just play fucking ball, man. You're disrespecting everything that came in front of you, and that's in the NBA right now. And that's why I can't wait till Steph, Dame Lillard, John Wall, they are going to, imagine, Lonzo Ball, you got a guard, fucking Russell Westbrook.
Oh.
You have a fucking freight train coming at you. You're talking all this shit, and your father's not going to be able to fucking say a fucking goddamn word about it.
And you know those guys. That's the problem with Russell what the dad's Westbrook. Doing. He's putting a target on him, so all these guys are going to be like, let me show you what this league's really
like. Kyrie Irving, I mean, one thing that he's lucky is that Kyrie got traded, because he was talking shit about LeBron, LeBron's kids. Like, who, like, you know, and people
LeVar
like...
LeVar was, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, they're like, he's a great dad. It's like, you know, we're giving him brownie points for doing what he's supposed to do. You're supposed to be a
Raise
good dad.
Son.
But if you're such a great dad, but you're shitting on other people's kids, then, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. But it's like, he got lucky because LeBron would have set up Kyrie like, yo, use and abuse.
He still might get IT to do it.
He might.
Oh, he's gonna.
He still might get IT to do it.
And Isaiah, and LeBron will set him up, you know, pick and roll. He's gonna run through this kid. He's going to run through this kid. He's shitting on Shaq. How could you
but see,
shit
that's
on
what
Shaq?
I just don't like the
like
disrespect
it.
From
Me
the
neither.
Younger. Even with the rap, like with the rappers, but getting back to that, like just the disrespect for the generation before them. They don't know none of the songs. They don't
and you,
like
you,
all of that shit matters.
And you yeah. proudly and, say, I don't know. What was the one rapper who's like a big fucking dude? He proudly says, I don't know any Biggie
yeah,
Smalls.
Like, it was Rich Homie Quan or maybe
Lil
Yachty.
Was he the one with the braids?
Yes.
You're proud of it. You don't know
that's
any songs.
What I'm saying. Like that's disrespectful to me.
Where
that's
have
what,
you been? I know you're only
off.
19,
yeah.
you know but I mean? You've been. You're 19. You don't know any Biggie Smalls
yeah,
songs.
That's like me saying I've never seen Ken Griffey Jr. play.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
don't
what,
say that with pride.
So how the fuck did you start rapping then? Like, who did you listen to get started?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, you can tell nobody. You can tell nobody. That's why the music is what it is. You can tell he didn't listen to the shit. He probably, no disrespect to him, get your money, but he probably, something's wrong with that kid.
Yeah.
Something is not right with him. Yo, I'm happy for him. He's successful. I don't want anybody to step on anybody's money, fuck with count anybody's pockets. I got a nice thing. But like, yo, you could see, like, yo, you're saying that with pride and joy.
Yeah.
That's like saying you never listen to, like, who's Howard Cosell?
Yeah.
Or no. Who's Vince Scully? Right. That's what I'm saying. Like,
why in hip hop is that acceptable?
Honestly, yeah, that's the only place it is.
Only in hip hop is it. In any other genre of music, like a jazz musician, imagine a jazz musician coming out saying, oh, I never listened to John Coltrane. Or imagine in baseball, if you show up, be like, I don't know who Ron Guidry is. You're a Yankee.
How the fuck are you here?
You don't know who
right.
Ron Guidry is.
Like, how did you get here?
Take
then?
The fucking 6 train home, asshole.
Every stop is what happens. You know what, though? You're right, man. Like, even if you don't know it, even if you aren't a fan, just a little respect for
you
it.
You got to have respect
just a little
for it,
respect
especially
for
the
it.
Ones that came before
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
But I can understand if you say an obscure group. But to proudly say I don't listen to Wu-Tang and Biggie Smalls.
Well, dude, I would be worried the karma bug's gonna get me then. Like that's what I would be. You say that proudly, all of a sudden it's gonna get you. You're not gonna be in that game long.
You sound nuts though.
You do sound nuts.
You sound nuts, and you obviously don't know who they are. And I don't think it was a put on because your music is trash.
All right, but now you know CeCe is like the biggest TV guy in the world, man.
I am a big TV guy.
So what are your shows? Right now.
I just finished Ozarks. I don't have.
Dude, what did you think
right
Ozark?
Now. I liked Ozark. It started slow, but it ended. That was ridiculous.
Okay,
I gotta watch this. Everyone says
Ozark
good.
Was good. I just finished Narcos.
Yeah.
I'm on Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
I like Shades of Blue, bro.
Okay.
With J Lo, that's a good show.
Yeah, it is a good show. It's good.
I've been kind of off.
It's watered down.
What Shades of Blue?
Because it's on NBC.
Yeah.
And also, it's like
it's a lot.
You know, like it's dirty cops and. You know, and smut.
If it was on like HBO
yeah,
or
exactly.
something, it should be great.
And Ray Liotta is so he plays that so well. Like
yeah.
that's his bread and butter.
Yeah, he's like frantic.
Yeah,
on that
is
shit.
He?
Like, he's going crazy. Yeah.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
That's like his go-to. That's his fastball.
That's his
him.
Thing.
That
yeah.
he does that better than anything.
That's him. Goodfellas, right there, right?
Even because in Goodfellas that. He was likable.
Yeah,
like there's a movie he did called shit, man, I can't remember. But it was like he broke out. And he was, it'll come to me. He was nuts.
He was that, yeah, he's nuts in this show, man.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, Shades of Blue is good.
Yeah. What else?
I've got off kind of like the network show. A Game of Thrones, obviously.
I don't fuck with
you.
I
don't
fuck
Game of Thrones?
Yo, I don't fuck with.
I'm trying to tell Mike he's got to get into
Lightning Bolts. Yeah. I don't fuck with dungeons. I don't fuck
you
with dragons.
So you don't like shit like you don't like Star Wars and shit like that.
I don't fuck with Star Wars.
You're missing out, man. You're missing out.
I'm not with any of that.
Game of Thrones is ridiculous.
I don't fuck with the Westeros. I don't give a fuck about the Westeros. I don't do chicks with blonde hair flying on top of dragons. I'm not with any of that.
Amelia Clark is hot, man.
I'll say this in all due respect. I know I'm in the minority. There's nothing you can do that could click me into Game of Thrones. My wife watches it. I sit there and I just blank out.
So what do you watch? What are your shows?
I mean, I watch my sports. But, you know, my shows now, let me see.
I just watched that new show, The Deuce, on HBO.
Oh, wow. What did you think?
Oh, it's good.
I didn't see it yet.
James Franco plays as like a twin.
That's legit.
Really? Yeah, but he's good at it, though.
He's a good actor, yeah. And I know it looks good. We have to see
it.
I was worried about it, like how it was going to look, but it's good. I'm into it.
The trailer looked great to me. Only one episode so far?
It's only been one episode.
All right, I got to check that out.
I'm heavy into my Housewives.
You know, yeah, he loves
it. I put The Real Housewives up against anything on TV.
But I can only watch Real Housewives of Orange County and Atlanta. I can't watch all the rest of that shit. I can't watch the New York Housewives. I can watch Beverly Hills.
Right.
I watch Beverly Hills.
But straight up, a good episode of Housewives is as good
as anything else. Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I love loving
hip hop and all that shit.
But Housewives is
that's the top of it.
Because
right?
And people say this is fake. I'm gonna tell you something. Meryl Streep, Marlon Brando, Denzel Washington on their best day couldn't do what these housewives do. I don't give it. I'll tell Denzel to his face. You should aspire to be like Bethany Frankel. You can never pull off what Bethany Frankel does. Meryl Streep, you wish you could do but that the, on a drop of
the
a dime.
The Real Housewives of Orange County is the original
they're,
one.
Yeah, they're
That's
the
first one. They're the OGs.
Nuts.
Which
is
they the first ones.
Which is the one that my friend Farrah Britt is on? Which is that the? Is that Orange County one? Or is that Beverly Hills?
Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay.
Beverly Hills.
All right, got you. Yeah,
but I love the. But I mean, what other shows? Like, I haven't really Ozarks. I liked
Ozarks was good.
Yeah.
Did you watch Narcos?
I like Narcos. I don't love it.
Yeah.
I watched
the first two seasons were good. This one was, you know, it was all right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
Mike, do you ever watch your own stuff?
No,
you don't.
Never?
I used to watch it all the time, and occasionally, like, you know, like. This show that I'm coming out, that's probably be out when this close coming out, called White Famous, on Showtime. I'm gonna watch that because I like the show and the characters is different for me.
It's Jay Farrow and you, right?
Jay Farrow and it's Jamie Foxx. Yeah. It's bugged out. It's
Jamie Foxx.
Like Jamie Foxx is like life, right?
It's not his life. It's kind of loosely based on his what is it? When he first came to Los Angeles,
yeah.
And the term "white famous" came from because he had reached a certain amount of fame, and he was like, "Fuck that! I want to be white famous. I want to be like Leonardo." But the scripts were so nuts, and they're so provocative socially and racially, and I just liked the characters in the thing. So I'll watch some of that. But
when does that come out?
October 15th.
Oh, yeah.
It's bugged out. And I wouldn't tell you it's bugged out.
Well, this is how I know it's good. Because, like, I'm not going to name what projects, but, like, Mike will do something, and I'll be like, oh, what are you up to? Whatever. He's like, oh, I did this. Eh. Like, it's okay. Like, it's all right. It's like,
but he's super honest, though.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
saying? Super honest. Like, and then with this, he was like, yo, this, there's something to
Jay Farrell's hilarious, too.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Funny.
Yeah.
And it just plays into the things that he does well. Like, I don't want to give it away, and it's truly, like, there's some things that he does, but there's some things that they wrote and they set him up for, where he uses his impressions in a way that's so out there and so bugged out, and socially right now with what's going on in the country, it's going to trip people out. Like, I mean, it's a comedy. It's not like, you know, it's not like a...
Is it a half-hour show?
Half-hour.
Okay.
But it's bugged out.
Okay, how many episodes?
10.
Oh, nice.
10.
Oh, we're definitely checking it out.
The same writer who did Californication.
Californication's
a good show.
Oh,
it's dope. Some of the characters bleed. A couple of characters show up from Californication.
Really?
It's bugged out.
Dude, I got to see that.
It's a fun show.
I got to see that for sure. You know, like, it's funny because one of my favorite movies is Beautiful Girls, which is one of Michael's early movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell, like, you know, he said he doesn't usually watch this stuff. Like, if I bring it up, he just, like, he wants to move on. Like you're not comfortable when people talk about your stuff.
No, I'm not. I don't want to talk about my stuff.
You never like.
I'll talk about other people
that
I worked with.
Yeah, yeah. Because
but I don't.
And what do you always tell? Michael always tells me about that most attractive woman he's ever been on set with.
Yes,
Uma Thurman
at the time in her prime. She was like a freaky Amazon supermodel actress. Right after Pulp Fiction, she was tall. She was just like, she was so beautiful. You know, you were just like, it wasn't even like I was attracted. I was just like, you know, you just like, yo, check her out. And also, she had just come off of Pulp Fiction where she killed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was just in that sweet spot where she was like, she was in her, I don't want to say she's going to have a long career ahead of her, but like it just was like in her prime as a star.
Yeah.
She was just, right, she killed it. She, and so it was like she had that star factor, and she just, the way she looked, you were just like, and then I had like these scenes with her, like I'm kissing her and like dancing with her. And I was young. I was like, yo, this is crazy.
So like, yeah, when
was
you,
that intimidating a little bit though?
That, like, her it was. Yeah. Her it was. Because also she's kind of aloof in general. So like, you know, and just how I treated her with that kind of like, it'd be like, you know, if you were hanging around any picture that you loved, you know, like I was like, yo, this is bugged out. Because I love, Pulp Fiction was such a.
It was incredible.
And when it was right on the heels of that. So you're like kind of looking at it like, yo, what is this shit here? You know.
What about when you got like that kind of thing, though? When you have to make out with another actress like that?
I haven't had any real intense like sex scenes. So, like, it, you know, at first it's like, oh, this is going to be cool. But it's such a technical process. Like kissing, even if you're just kissing somebody on screen or, you know, if it's sex, it's such a technical thing.
And so many takes too, huh?
The takes and the lighting and put your head on this side, put your head on that side. You know, don't do this. You're blocking her. Don't mess up her hair. Oh, you got lipstick on your face. Oh, shit. You know, cut. You got lipstick on. You know, it's not what it's cracked up to be. Now, I've never had like, you know, like a toe-to-toe with like J-Lo or something like that. But even J-Lo will tell you, at the, you know, after like the first sort of thing, it's like, this is, it's literally like doing a fight scene.
Yeah.
Having a sex scene or a makeout scene is as aggravating, as annoying as doing like a stunt like scene. I can't stand stunt scenes.
No?
Oh, shit, with the punching and did it hit? Did it not hit? This fucking guy, Jay Farrell, he like punched me in my fucking nose on those Jenna White Famous. Yeah, man, I was like, you know, and, you know, so it's like people get hurt, you bang your elbow. It's just like, did you get it? Let's move on.
Let's move on from this bullshit.
It's fucking done, man. It's, you know, it's like.
So there's no romance in this.
Hell, there's no romance and there's no tough guys in when you're making, you know, action, you know, like fight scenes.
I can't wait to see like.
Where'd you guys shoot
scene?
This show at? LA. White Famous.
LA.
LA, okay.
It's kind of a mix between like Atlanta and Entourage-ish. It has, it deals with show business, but it's just, even the title, in my opinion, like I'm surprised like there was no backlash over the title because of the climate that we're living in.
Yeah.
Because when they explain, and they explained it in the show, what the title, where it comes from eventually. But
I remember Jamie Foxx in one of his stand-ups talked about being White Famous.
Right.
Oh, yeah?
And that's where,
He's a talented dude,
man. I saw him on New Year's Eve 1 year. I don't know when it was, but he did 2.5 hours of stand-up comedy. Then he did an hour and a half of the Ray. Like, it was incredible how much, like, he did a concert and a comedy show, like, in one night.
Gosh, that guy's,
it was incredible,
that's
man.
Unbelievable,
it was so
man.
Dope, man.
He's ridiculously talented. Like, he's the type of motherfucker, like, if he comes on this podcast, your tongue will be like, because when he's telling a story, even if he's not doing an impression, but if, like, he was telling a story about me, Michael Rapaport, like, if he was here saying, oh, rap was on the set, like, he just, without doing it in a shticky way or, like, where it's like, kind of like a comedian being a comedian, like, he'll just become the person.
Yeah.
And then he'll come out of being the person. Like, I hung around him a few times. Like, he was telling Mike Tyson stories. And his impression is different. His impression in his real life isn't the way he does it on stage. Like, you're literally, like, this guy is like Mike Tyson.
That's Mike Tyson right there.
And he does just, Snoop too really good.
Yeah, he does everybody. The way he paints a picture of a story, you should get him on this fucking podcast. Yeah.
Let's do it.
That motherfucker is one of
Mike, why don't you tell him he should, you know?
Yeah. He'd do it. I mean, he's
yeah,
a
he'd
cool
do
motherfucker.
Yeah. He's a cool dude.
And he's just like the talent, him and Eddie Murphy and Jay Farrell.
Yeah.
Like they have that talent. And Jay
Eddie
just,
Murphy can switch it on like that too. It's like
I did a movie with him, Metro, and the movie was whack. But the shit that we did that didn't make it into the movie and just the conversations, incredible. He would, I mean, he's a freak.
One of my favorite Eddie Murphy movies that nobody ever seen was Showtime, and him and De Niro.
Oh,
that
yeah.
shit is hilarious.
Yeah.
And nobody ever talks about the movie. Some great lines in that movie, man.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
It's funny.
I feel like also like when the SNL thing came up a couple years ago, Eddie like. Of everybody, right? He was the one who everyone was like, universally, like, yo, that guy, that guy's just got it.
He's a freak talent.
Yeah.
Freak talent. I mean, even what, you know, like, if you look at, like, the Clumps and the Coming to America scenes, when he's doing those things. Like, he's a freak talent. Mm. Like, a freak talent.
Now,
Fox is the same type of shit. Like, he could sing. Like, literally, he could have a career just as a singer.
As a singer. Right.
You know, dramatic actor, comedic actor, a comedian, impressions. Like, that's like fucking talent.
Yeah.
You know, where you just the talent. You know,
he could basically do anything. 100%. You know what I'm saying? To entertain you.
Not like that good. Not that good at ball. I'll tell you to your face, Fox. I will tell Jamie to his face.
Yeah, let's hear this.
That motherfucker doesn't like to pass. You know, rude with the ball. Like, yo, I'm open, my man, and I fuck with Jamie. Like, yo, I'm right here. Give me the fucking rock.
Where are you playing with him?
I don't play as much. I used to play him. They had this celebrity league every Sunday in L.A., so you could just imagine the quality of ball was shit. And you got a bunch of dudes who think they could play and they can't play. But Fox is one of the dudes who, like, yo, I'm open. I remember actually playing with Jamie the morning of the Oscars, the night he was nominated for Ray.
Oh, damn.
He was there, and I was like, yo, he's fucking here playing ball. He probably wanted to chill, but he played ball. And, you know, if you got nominated for Best Actor for Ray, you know that day you're definitely not passing
you
the fucking
ball. Nah, he locked in. He pulling every fucking
We're playing
thing
five on five. We're not talking about 3-on-3 where he's – I'm talking about, like, you're disrespectful to everybody out here. I know you're going to win the Oscar tonight, but, like, I am fucking
wide
so
open.
Wide open. Like, I'm fucking cherry picking just to see if you'll pass me the ball.
Let me tell you
man.
Something. When you're nominated for the Oscar, you ain't passing on
you ain't
that
passing
day either.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But.
Now, the book you're doing,
yep.
The sports arguments, like,
yep.
How is that going to be structured? Because obviously, like, I can't see Michael Rapaport, like, writing a novel unless
no.
it's going to be, like, you know,
no.
with a bunch of profanity in the middle of
no.
it. Like, what? It's like arguments, right? It's sports arguments?
It's not arguments. The name of the book is This Book Has Balls, Sports Rants from the MVP of Talking Trash.
Nice.
And obviously the MVP thing is play on the KD, you know, you're the real MVP. And, you know, I wanted it to be MVP of talking shit, but then, you know, like, you want to sell books. but it's just, you know, it's just sort of, it's not arguments. It's tongue-in-cheek ideas, thoughts, arguments, rants about, like, there's 23 reasons why LeBron will never be like Mike. There's midgets, hookers, pills, midgets, and hookers, the Las Vegas Raiders. What it's going to be like for the Raiders when they go, because I'm vehemently behind the Raiders staying in Oakland.
No,
they should be in
Raiders
Oakland.
They
should not be in fucking Vegas.
Well, listen.
Don't say that.
Okay, listen. They need a new
Do
stadium.
Do you want to go back home?
They need a new stadium.
I know, I agree.
They like
figure
as
it
a,
out.
As a fan, it's sad that they're leaving Oakland.
Sad.
It's sad. I grew up an L.A. Raider fan.
Right.
They were in L.A. when I grew up. They
LA
came back
or
when
Oakland,
I was,
the,
they came back when
or.
I was 14. But that stadium, have you been there?
Yes, I know it's
a
shithole.
That place is disgusting.
I know it's a shithole.
No professional athlete should be able to play in that place.
I totally agree.
So we need a new stadium, so I don't give a fuck if it's on the moon.
I totally agree.
I'm going with them. I'm with them.
I totally agree. But for me as a fan, I have no affiliation with Oakland. I didn't grow up there.
No, it's tough. It's tough.
They're such a – that's like the Yankees
no,
of the NFL,
yeah.
Like leaving.
It is. They were one of the original teams in the NFL, but – man, the stadium situation is so bad.
It's terrible. They should have been able to
even
figure it out.
Even as watching as a fan, you can,
it sucks.
It sucks, man.
You know the Chargers stadium.
And you go to these different stadiums. You go to Qualcomm is bad too. But
that was a shithole too.
You go over here to the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
You go to Jerry's World. Like fans want to have a good time at the game.
I agree.
And like
you look at some of these new like Ford Field
that's what
in
I'm
Detroit.
Saying. Like,
oh my god,
Minnesota's
man,
new
amazing.
Field.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
got the Mercedes.
The Atlanta thing. Did you see
right.
that?
Like the Raiders need a new. Like,
I totally agree.
We're coming out of like the old. You know
they should figure it out got, though.
Yeah.
So no. so that's just it's just it's just a premonition of what.
What's going to happen
like, well,
to them
here's
in Vegas?
Deal. Yeah. Like if you're a cheerleader, it's notorious that cheerleaders don't get paid a lot of money.
Right.
So if you're a cheerleader working for the Las Vegas Raiders getting $125 to work on a Bruno Mars routine in the third quarter of a game and then on Monday through Friday, you know, you got, you know, Golden Girl 4 where you can make 5 Gs. That's a conflict of interest. You know, and who's going to be your family? So that's what that chapter.
You're going to be at the games in Vegas.
Hell
go to
no.
Some games.
If I'm there,
exactly.
maybe one, but
you'll
I mean.
You'll be there.
But I just.
You'll be there on the weekend when they're home and it's going to be crazy, man.
I'm not into it.
It's a good move for them. It sucks.
I can't believe it. Mr. No, Oakland, no, listen, naming his fantasy team is Oakland is. She's saying this shit.
It sucks, though. But they need a new stadium.
They need a new stadium. There should be a stadium in Oakland.
There should be a stadium in Oakland. But it's that bad that I don't care if they move.
Dude, is there any chance that this would push Oakland to make a stadium in the hopes that they would eventually come back?
They got the baseball stadium going up in 2023. That's 6 years from now.
Oh, man, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
That's a really long time.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the Raiders are getting good again. They got some young talent. Like, it's fresh. The franchise is kind of like – reborn.
Oh, they're good, man.
That's what I'm saying.
They're really
they need
good.
A good place to fucking play and let fans come watch
the game.
They
deserve a good
game.
Place.
I was,
but you're right. It should be in Oakland, but it's not going to be, so they have to move to Vegas.
I don't like it.
So that's
like
one
it.
Of the things. But what is the 23 reasons why LeBron – I mean, don't give it all away. We want to buy the book, of course,
like the 23 reasons – like they have nothing to do with – well, they have very little to do with winning and losing. I'll say probably like one of the great reasons – why he'll never be like Mike LeBron, arguably the greatest player of his generation, right?
Yeah.
The worst sneakers ever. The ugliest, most unsportsmanlike, unbasketball, over-the-top sneakers ever. And the name of the sneakers, instead of being called the LeBron Sixes, they should be called Irony. From LeBron James, the greatest player of all time, makes the worst sneaker of all time. So it's just shit.
They heavy, too, man. You got some heavy-ass
four
shoes.
Four straps.
He's the only one that can wear them because he's so fucking
exactly.
big and strong.
Exactly. You got to be LeBron to wear them.
You
got
to be LeBron to put them shits on.
I tried to, like, walk through Central Park one day with them. I had to take a cab back, man. I was like, what is this on my foot? But I actually like the design of some of them, but they're heavy, man.
The new one that he just came out with is pretty nice.
Yeah, it looks good. Looks good.
I call the new one the rubber rooms because it looks like you should be strapped up into a rubber
room.
They look
like KD's a little bit.
They do look a little ones. Like KD's.
KD's got some nice shoes right
now.
I like the sevens, the KD7s.
The KD7s are good,
love
too. Paul George got a nice shoe out right now.
He does, man.
I like Kyrie's shoes.
Kyrie's dope, simple, too.
Yeah.
Before we let you get out of here, I got to ask you this. Because we talk sometimes about social media stuff and like how much you're looking at stuff. Because your rants, as evident by this podcast, they contain real strong opinions and are volatile. Your comments and your DMs and everything, it's got to be crazy, the stuff you get, man.
Crazy. I'm no idiot to know.
Do you read all that shit, though?
I read not all of it. I read a lot of it. The thing that's crazy for me, I'm not an athlete. I don't know what clicks you. But it really kind of came out when I spoke out about Charlottesville and then the Conor McGregor fight. The racial shit. Like, I grew up in New York City. I grew up around black, Spanish, Chinese, whatever. And I'm not a tough guy, but I knew better. Like, if you call a Chinese guy a certain word, you better be ready to fight. If you call a black guy a certain word, you better be ready to fight. If you call a Puerto Rican guy a certain word, you better be ready to fight. I never call those people a word because that's just, number one, I'm not a tough guy. I wasn't on that fucking racial shit. You call an Italian guy a certain word, you'd be ready to fight. The shit that comes out of the racial shit that comes out of people's mouths on Twitter and Instagram, it's a wake up call to me that we're not going forward. And we are trying to make America great again by going backwards into a time where that's acceptable. It's not acceptable. And you and Twitter and social media is now like the new I had a few beers in me because motherfuckers will say shit on Twitter during 9 a.m. in the morning with coffee in them that they would never say to your face. That's the thing that bothers me. Whether my movies suck, I know anything about sports, I'm boring, I don't give a fuck about any of that. But when you start calling me fucking race traitor, N-word lover, fucking... I'm not even going to say the words. Like, yo, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is insane. It's insane to me. Like, that's the thing. So that's when I go at people when it's that stuff. I don't give a fuck if you talk about my movies. That shit's silly. That's like hecklers in a game. But when you start going into this racial, like, shit, I'm like, how do you even think like this?
Yeah,
like, you really think like this? You know, and sometimes I'm like, where are you at? Yeah. Like, I'll pin you where I am. Where are you at? Because, like, and I'm not a tough guy, I'm not a fighter, but, like, you're just like, yo, where the fuck are you? Because if I saw you in real life, you'd have stars in your eyes and ask me for a selfie. You'd be batting your eyes at me.
Yeah.
Tony from fucking, you know, Dorchester, or this fucker from Kentucky, you'd have fucking little stars in your eyes and ask me for a selfie. And you wouldn't say a fucking peep to me. And I'm sure CeCe gets the same
selfie.
Shit.
I hate selfies, bro. People want to take selfies with me. I hate that shit.
All the time.
But he's dead on, man. 1,000%.
It's crazy.
But
it's a racial shit.
When the reality is 99% of those people, you engage them in person.
Never.
I'm your biggest fan or whatever.
You're my biggest fan. Get the fuck out of here. And then they get mad because I'll talk shit back. Like, I had like some guy say some crazy shit to me, and he's got a picture of his kid. And I didn't even look at the picture, but I'm like, yo, your kid is cockeyed. And they're like, why would you say something about my kid? Why would you say something? That's fucked up. Fuck you, you little
fucking.
And fuck your dog, too. Put that fucking dusty-ass dog down. That motherfucker is cockeyed, too, and the dog is clearly suffering. The dudes who talk the most shit are usually the ones that have, like, cartoon faces. But if you talk, I'm telling you, if you're listening to this and you talk shit to me and you put a picture of your kid, your wife, your fucking dumb, old-ass, limping-ass mom. I'm going to talk shit about all of them. All of them. And don't get mad. Like, I got these people in Boston complaining. He said something about my 3-year-old. Because you're talking shit to me in an inappropriate way. Get your fucking daughter some glasses. It's not that expensive. She's cockeyed. Fix her fucking face. Your son is limping. He looks like shit. Don't talk shit on my page and then get offended when I'm talking shit right back.
Oh, I'm
an N-word lover. I'm this. I'm a race trainer. And your daughter is buck-eyed. Get the fuck out of here.
I think that's where you dropped the mic, man. Oh, my gosh.
I got to make this.
Mike, thank you for doing it.
I'm glad to do it. I appreciate it, CeCe. I'm going to hit you guys up for daily, CeCe.
Yes.
Like, this is all well and good.
We'll come on I Am Rappaport
for
sometime.
For sure. Let's do it.
Whatever you want.
Now, listen, CeCe, I just my final
Can
word.
Can I cuss on your podcast?
Of course. I just want to say this. We're heading into a pennant race, and hopefully when this goes up, we'll still be in it. Don't think about me when you're on the mound. Don't think about my fantasy football
I don't need
shit.
To think about
I don't want
shit.
To distract you because I know I'm in your DNA
Listen,
right now.
I'm the fucking champ, bro. Right?
I'm just saying, I don't want you when you're out there.
I'm
ninth
the
inning. I don't want you going, oh, fuck, who am I going to set my lineup this week because I'm playing Rappaport. I don't want to. I just don't put that in your head. I don't want to fuck up the baseball shit because we got to kick the fucking Red Sox ass.
I'm the
year.
Champ, bro.
All right.
Fair enough. I'm the champ.
Thanks, Mike.
PlayersTribune.com.